Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
What we're going to do at the end of the show, the very end of the show, before we hand it off to the K-Show, is we are going to do one sim lottery and see how your de trois pistons do, and we'll see if it all holds true. We'll see what happens. It's big. The lottery is tonight. Bart's Pistons have a 14% chance to win it, and Victor Wembanyama, affectionately known on our show
Way
as
Wizzle.
Way or Way Wizzle. And I'm going to say this to you, Bart, because they're going to go fast. If the Pistons win the lottery, I am buying you a Wembanyama jersey. Okay?
Then we're going to draft Scoop. like when we won the draft, we took Darko.
Overthink it. Yeah, take Darko instead of Melo. Well, you know, we already have Jalen Duren, so we don't
we already got our big man.
What? Are you high?
So, yeah, so we'll sim it at the end. We'll have some fun with it there. And there's also a little story also involving how the Knicks don't have a pick right now, but when this thing's over, they could. And, boy, would that cause a lot of controversy. Well, so we'll have that story for you, everything else, by the end of the show. But first, Bart, let's get to the big headline of the day as we go into this. They started a new series, the Yankees did, with the Toronto Blue Jays. And to me, before the game even started, there was a much bigger story, and it involved a injury update. So before we get to anything Aaron Judge-related, let's just do a pinstripe report. It's brought to you by Samuel Institute for Pain Management. And it was an injury update that I found to be very, very interesting because of what it had on it involving two pitchers, starting pitchers for the Yankees, that you were waiting on, and then another pitcher as well. So some latest injury updates from yesterday included Carlos Rodon, who, as you know, has been out with the elbow strain, and then he added some back stiffness to this, and he remains TBD. Here's the news. Played some catch. A little light throwing because he got a cortisone injection, which you predicted, on May 9th because of the stiffness in his back. Aaron Boone already let us know that another round of injections have been scheduled, but he might not need that second shot. So he's been dealing with this discomfort in his back, and he has been told that it is a chronic issue. Chronic issue means that it's going to be recurring. So he's been throwing. I guess the word is his control has been erratic, and that's a problem. But he wants to keep throwing, and they're trying to take it slow with him. But the good news is Rodon's elbow is healthy. So at least the elbow part of this whole thing is, I guess, clear. Now it's just getting his back right, that area of his back that just keeps giving him trouble. Luis Severino.
Is it spinal?
I hope not. We can't have that. Luis Severino's had that right lat strain. And remember, late May, which we're in the middle of May right now, late May was the expected return for him. Well, we're getting closer. He's scheduled to pitch in AA to get some work in today. And so hoping that if he does well after that, that they can start bringing him in. And the feeling is from Aaron Boone that he's in play to get back into the rotation, maybe May 21st against the Reds. So that's a big deal. So you get him this rehab assignment. You get him some work in AAA a little bit as well. He's been doing some. He's been throwing. That's most important. Getting himself worked up so once he can return, he's ready to go. And, boy, do they need him, obviously. So I think, to me, out of all the different issues, that's the one. You know, Giancarlo Stanton, you could see him maybe also late May, but probably more when June begins, which is also important. I mean, you want to get his bat. They've got to get healthy, Bart, obviously. Yeah. But they're starting to win a couple of games here, despite that they're missing all these important pieces. And Aaron Judge had another two-home-run game, and they got a win over the Blue Jays. And so that's the first part of the story is – they get the win. There's some health coming around here when it comes to the starting pitching. Again, Rodon, we have no idea when we're going to see him. But at least Severino, it sounds like we could see him in another week. And that's obviously good news. So that's the Pinstripe Report. It's brought to you by Samuel Institute for Pain Management for a pain-free life. but the SamuelPayne.com today. But the bigger story from yesterday was not the injury update, it seems. It is more of what happened or what is accused to have happened. When Aaron Judge hit his second home run of the game yesterday, last night, in Toronto, when the Blue Jays broadcasters thought they saw him or caught him on video glancing, which appeared towards the dugout, or somewhere, was it to the catcher or to the dugout? But he was glancing right before the pitch was thrown, and then he turns, swings, and hits an absolute missile out of the ballpark. And the feeling was that did he was he stealing signs? Was he doing something? Was he getting help from the dugout? So the accusations were flying all over the place to a point where even the pitcher went into the dugout and they brought over the video. They said, this is going to piss you off. And, you know, this turned into a big thing that I think is going to continue today. The manager, John Schneider, he said it's kind of odd that a hitter would be looking in that direction. You know, he found that to be odd. So he allowed the speculation to grow a little more. And so the Yankees had to explain this stuff after the game. And so here's Aaron Judge. Now, let's also set it up right. Aaron Boone just was thrown out of the game for arguing balls and strikes that he felt was a problem all game long. He got tossed. And so for Judge, this is his explanation about why he was looking into the dugout after Boone got thrown out.
You know, I like Boone sticking up for me, and he always does. But I feel like after the manager does his thing, it's like, fellas, like, you know, our pitcher still got to go out there and make some pitches. Like, let's, you know, we got the lead. Let's just go to work here. So it kind of, I said a couple things to some guys in the dugout, and especially after the game. But, you know, hopefully it won't happen again.
So that's his explanation of what happened. And also when told about the Blue Jays announcers pointing out that he was, where was he looking? Why was he looking there and all that stuff? Judge's response?
Yeah, it was kind of a lot of chirping from our dugout, which I really didn't like in the situation where it's a 6-0 game. And I know Boone got tossed. Like, I was trying to save Boone by calling timeout. Like, hey, hold up here. Like, let me work here. So I was kind of trying to see who was chirping in the dugout. So it's 6-0. Like, Boone got tossed. Let's go to work now.
And then, of course, Aaron Boone discussing the same thing about the Blue Jays announcers saying that Judge was looking into the dugout.
I did. I saw them talking about it a little bit, too. And I think because obviously there was some chirping going from our side, obviously, when I got thrown out, and then it continued. Like, you know, I think a lot of our guys were still, you know, letting them hear it. And Judge was kind of looking over like, I'm hitting here. So.
And then he hit an absolute bomb. Bart, this is always going to be a thing that comes up. Obviously, there's a connection that the Yankees have because of all the accusations with those series they played against the Astros and Jose Altuve and everything else like that.
Did you say the Astros?
The Astros.
Oh, I thought you said the Astros, like they has-beens.
Did I say Astros?
Yeah, you said the Astros. I thought you was trying to put a little shade because, listen, maybe if you can't beat them, you join them. So the Yankees are trying out something new. So when they see the Astros this year,
they're ready for him?
They can.
Two can play at that game?
Yeah. Astros out of here.
I see.
Astros.
Yeah.
Stroll your ass up out of here, out of these playoffs. But listen, it's something that they're going to have. Listen, it was not a move that we're used to or accustomed to seeing at the plate, right? So we all can agree that it wasn't a natural thing. And you know,
when you see the, still shot of his eyes,
yes,
you go like, what the hell is he looking at? And he says, that I was like, he's like, look, he's a leader. He's a captain. He's looking
that
at his dugout like, guys, zip it.
But yeah, but it's
he looked angry.
But usually when you do that, you hit a timeout and you put your hand up like, yo, chill out.
Okay.
I'm here. Well, you don't just look.
Pitch is about to be thrown.
What the hell is it look? So then you step out. You say timeout. You step away. You get a timeout, right?
Okay.
That's usually what happens. Like when somebody's saying something, a coach tripping or Rex was screaming at somebody, I would put my hand up like, hey, man, chill out.
Right.
That's the universal sign for chill out. Not looking through the corner of your eyeballs. You're 6'8", so you looking at stuff from a different angle than other people not used to. You know what I'm saying? So, listen.
Are you trying to suggest that you think that there's some funny business going on here?
What I'm saying is, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. And I don't put it past anybody. We never would have thought Tom Brady. Now, we know Bill Belichick, Sith Lord, he'll do anything to win. I mean, he'll sell out his soul, right? But Tom Brady, we thought, was a golden child. the fact that we knew that he had deflated balls and everybody got punished, but you know, Tom Brady got punished, but then we never heard from those equipment managers ever again. They somewhere in Alcatraz or somewhere. You know what I'm saying?
It's true.
Yeah, we ain't heard or seen from them ever again. They ain't told they signed a story.
Yeah, they did. Nobody believed them. That was the problem.
They probably gave them $1 million. Hey, just go away, man. You own ketchup. Nah, you know, it's Kraft cheese. You own ketchup. But anyway, what I'm saying is
the great John Jastrzemski, is that what is his name?
That is a different look, right? We're not accustomed to seeing that. That's why, you know, I think it was a bit of outrage. And we understand that tipping pitches and all that stuff is part of the game. But what I'm saying is, like, you can't fault the Blue Jays for thinking what they think because they're looking at it from their perspective. And listen, I'm not putting it past a team that hired, you know, Beltran, who maybe Beltran taught them the tricks. Maybe, you know, maybe Garrett Cole taught them the tricks. So I'm not putting it past anybody to be beyond reproach because we've seen some of the best cheat, right? Aaron Rodgers overinflated balls, right? Because that's how he likes his balls in cold weather and all that type of stuff. So listen, I'm not putting it past Aaron Judge. And, you know, if well, listen, it'll come out eventually. A team made a leave and they'll hate on him or something like that. They'll hate on the situation. But that is unnatural to say you were looking at your dugout while a pitch was coming. Just a little weird. Just a little weird.
Now, if you were one of Judge's teammates, or if you, like, do you carry this into tonight's game?
Oh, yeah.
With any kind of grudge?
It's going to get chippy tonight.
You think it's going to get chippy? Because the Blue Jays have always been kind of that team
anyway.
You need to hit
somebody in the middle of the right on the ass cheek.
Deliver that?
Yeah.
Now, right. Now who? Does Toronto throw a Judge?
I mean, you talking about rivalries. These are divisional opponents, right? You think you've been wrong? Hit him in the ass cheek.
Who?
Hit Judge in the
Judge?
Ass cheek. Yeah, hit him in the ass cheek.
Interesting.
Probably going to get on base anyway. You that good. Hit him in the ass cheek. Let him get one instead of two.
It was Dan Shulman and Buck Martinez who were in the booth, and it was Dan Shulman that was the one who really caught it. You know, where's he looking? What's he looking at? You know?
Listen,
and Buck called it really, really unusual.
Yankee fans got a lot to explain because, I mean, if y'all talking about, you know, blaming the Astros and all what they did, you know.
But there wasn't a buzzer involved.
We don't know what Judge got on his body.
He was looking, glancing.
You could hide a satellite on Judge and you wouldn't be able to find it. Look at that.
I want you to watch this again. Ready? Just watch. Oh, wait. Oh, of course it reset.
We got no good Wi-Fi.
It reset, and now we have a commercial.
See, you've convinced yourself. Listen, Alan, you've convinced yourself.
Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that you can't watch a video? It's a 10-second video, but I got to watch a 30-second commercial.
Got to pay the bills.
This is what we do now.
That's here. Citibank, though.
Here you go. No, now that's in time. Man, come on,
they
man.
Went to the next video
Isn't
now.
That amazing?
Listen, trust me, everybody. Just go back and see it for yourself. Ball don't lie, like Rasheed Wallace used to say. Ball don't lie. So I wouldn't be surprised if somebody plunked Judge.
I wanted you to watch the original video.
Or you pitch him inside, right?
Why would you hit him though? Unless you really believe he was cheating.
You think they're making it up? I think they believe what they believe.
Oh, don't you do it again. Don't do it. I'm gonna throw this thing around. I'm gonna throw this thing right across the room right now. I literally hit start and gave me another commercial.
Believe what you believe, though. Like, if you're the team, you're not going to give the Yankees the benefit of the doubt.
I want you to see it. All right, here it goes. Ready? Watch his eyes. Watch his eyes. Ready?
Oh, hell no. Hell no.
He certainly isn't looking at the catcher.
Bro, hell no.
Look, watch again. He's not looking at the catcher. Look, ready?
And the more and more I watch it, it's the crazier it is. Because, look, he didn't turn his head.
But doesn't he look like a stern look?
Hell,
like you better
hell
shut
no.
up.
Listen,
that look
no,
he's
hell
giving,
no,
is like
no.
a glare.
I am convinced now. It's not a glare. Like when your head stand in the same position, your eyeballs go.
Yeah,
that
it was.
Way.
It was like you know the clock with the cat eyes.
Yes,
like that's literally what he did.
Yes.
His eyes are the only thing that moved.
But the thing is, this is the thing, Alan. That's incriminating. Because here's the thing. If you're 20 feet away, 20 yards away, how the hell can you see somebody's eyeballs looking at you? From that far, and his head still turned. So we know that he wasn't trying to make contact with nobody in the dugout.
He said he was just looking at the dugout
bro,
as if like to tell him,
bro,
hey, yo,
bro,
I'm hitting
bro,
over
bro.
here.
Me right here doing this ain't going to help nobody, bro. I promise you. That's even more incriminating. That is so unnatural, bro.
All right, here, this is a Dan Shulman and Buck Martinez. This is from Sportsnet up in Toronto, and this is them like catching it.
All right, Buck. So you and I looked at each other at the same moment, right when we saw this three pitches ago.
Watch what he's looking at.
Yeah. What is that?
Where's he looking?
And he did it more than once.
Yeah. It's really, really unusual. But you and I both looked at each other when we saw that.
Like, did you see what I saw?
Yeah.
And you don't want to go, you know, throwing allegations around without knowing.
But you did.
No. Nah. I mean, you know what? I have had guys look back when I was catching, and you obviously could see it. And he couldn't see the catcher with the way he was looking right there.
Yeah, just did it again. And he pummeled it. He hit it a country mile for his second home run of the night.
Dan Shulman, that was actually a great call by Shulman because it's like he did it again. And he pummeled it. It's actually a great call.
Bro, and if you're looking at it, he's not like the dugout can't see that he's looking with his eyeballs if his head is still there.
Okay.
That's incriminating. That looks even worse the more and more I watch it.
All right. 800-919-3776.
Damn, Yankees. Why you got to cheat, man?
All right. So do you agree with Bart or disagree with Bart? Because Bart is calling out Aaron Judge.
Watch it before you say something. Like, don't
Dan
Shulman
and Buck Martinez called out Aaron Judge. I think it's just purely coincidental.
And he pummeled it.
That's such a great.
He's doing it. What is he looking at? Oh, he's doing it again. And he pummeled it. Come on, son. Come on, man. It's no such thing as coincidence.
How much surrender was in Dan's voice when he's like, he's looking again. What's he doing? And he bumped it.
And he killed it. And he destroyed it.
Yeah, he knew where that was going. I'd love to get people's takes on this. There's no way that you can say definitively that there was some cheating going on. But I will say this. There's no way you can definitively say there isn't. I think it's fair. I will be fair and meet you in the middle and say you can't say it either way. All you can do is go based off of your emotion, your feel, just what you think in that moment. Like, nah, I feel like it's this way. Like, whatever your instinct is, go with it. And your instinct is?
And thank you.
You think something funny was going on there?
It is more than meets the eye.
So you think?
Yeah, hell, absolutely.
A little bit of strategery.
Somebody told him something.
Interesting. All right, 800-919-3776. But of course, before we get to the calls, Bart, as Ray is right now waiting by the gong impatiently, it is hour number three. It is Bart and Han. So what's that mean?
It's the power hour. The Knicks are out of here. No. That's it.
You didn't want one for the Pistons, number one pick?
Ask me again.
All right.
You just made me smile.
Yeah. It's hour number three. It's Barton Hall. What's that mean?
It's the power hour, 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 hour.
Is it for how tall Wembanyama
is? I think he wears number 13. Almost died. Sweet baby Jesus.
All right, 800-919-3776 is the number.
Wasn't he number 13?
What? I don't know. Honestly,
you know what? You haven't been watching French basketball?
I need to start watching the tape on this kid because I'm hosting the NBA draft.
I just hope he got some Dr. Scholes.
I am hosting the draft, by the way.
You think he got Dr. Scholes? I need him to have Dr. Scholes.
Dr. Scholes?
Yeah, I need him to be gelling. I don't need no Liz Frank.
You need him gelling?
Huh?
Number one. No, he's not going to wear number one.
He's number one?
He's going to walk in and tell
Cade. So I was right the first time.
He's going to tell Cade, I'm the captain now.
He ain't going to tell Cade nothing.
Oh?
He's a light-skinned Mamba.
It's Victor Wembanyama.
He's the Albie Shore of CMB.
You know how jarring it is when you meet him? I can't wait for draft night.
Yo, because remember remember how crazy Yao Ming used to make people look?
The first time I met Yao,
his hair.
Ever had to, like, you know how you have to, like.
Yeah, you almost got vertigo.
My neck was, now I'm like, oh, this is what it's like. My neck was killing me talking to this dude. I'm like, look, man, I got to look down for a second. No offense, but my neck hurts.
And he had these supersized Pacquiao calves. Them things
were right.
They were like, yo, bro, you ain't got no high calf. Them things
he had
like,
cankles.
And like, yo, you and Pacquiao with them big ass calves.
Something about it. Let's get some calls on the Judge stuff, though. Let's go to Alvin in Elizabeth. Alvin.
Coming to join you.
Awa, awa.
Yes, sir.
Awa, awa. Woo, I got three in there.
Yeah, bro. Don't, all right. Yeah, I hope you ain't driving, man. Don't mess around, black out. Don't blame it on me, Kane.
Listen, this is why I'm going to agree with Bart, right? Let's say tonight, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. takes a little peek to the dugout. What are the Yankee fans going to say tomorrow when that happens? Is it going to be cheating or no?
It's all up to what Domingo Germán throws to him after he peeks into the dugout, because if he hits it a country mile, like Dan Shulman said, then yeah, I'm sure it'll be like, oh, they're doing it now.
But the conversation, stupid. Listen, the conversation that they had, it's just too perfect. What is he looking at? Like, this is a...
That whole thing.
Like, again, there he goes again. What is he looking... Oh, wow.
How about when he goes, we're not trying to sort of throw out any allegations here, but...
But what is he looking at?
Oh, what is he looking at?
He pummeled it.
He hit it a country mile. Sal's in Brooklyn. Sal, what's going on here?
Sal, keep it real.
Yo,
Sal.
Good afternoon, boy.
How we doing,
awa,
man?
Awa. But here we go, my man. Hey, you know what that is? You know, cheating. There is a degree to cheating, right? Buzzers, scoreboards, Apple Watches. But in the old days, if you had a guy standing on second base and he could see the catcher, and he'd take his lead and put his hands on his knees, that batter knew fastball. If he would adjust his helmet, he knew curveball. It's if you're able to steal what that dope on the mound is letting you know, then you're gonna cheat. You're going to do what you can to get it. It's called advantage. It's not cheating.
So, Sal, you where know, do you stop? Where does it stop?
He was looking at Rizzo, and Rizzo gave him the old fastball, curve, slider. Here it comes. Yeah. So how is that cheating? If you know what he's throwing because – he keeps his glove at his waist on a curveball, and he picks it up to his chest on a fastball. That's on the pitcher to make the adjustment, man. If you know what's coming, you're going to hit it.
Now, what's interesting is, Sal, what's interesting in this whole thing, no, what you're saying I get, but what's interesting is it was later in the game. It's like, to me, if somebody saw something on film, like, you know what, Judge is doing this, you should watch carefully. Because how did anybody catch that? How did they catch that? Was maybe it was one of the directors in the truck that saw it and were like, whoa, what did Judge just do there? And then they showed to take a look at this and watch Judge eyes, and then like, oh, whoa, what is that? Usually that's what happens. Usually it's somebody in the truck that sees the replay, watches his eyes. But is it something that the Blue Jays might have said to the broadcast? Hey, watch Judge at bat.
They were talking about it as we speak, so it's not like they saw it and commented on it before. They're having a whole conversation about it. Like, what is he looking at?
Like, did the Blue Jays want this and say, keep an eye out for this, see if he does it? And then once he did it, they're like, they jumped on it.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Just quickly here, Bart. So we're gonna just totally rip off the morning show.
Okay.
All right. So DiPietro and Rothenberg were doing something this morning when I was listening to on my way in for Get Up. And I was like, "That I love this. I enjoyed the segment a lot." And it was Rick and Dave were going through because – they're so fixated. Dave is so fixated on the schedule and how tough it is. It's like the first 12 weeks are like the toughest of any team and all that, based on last year's plays, all that stuff. Like, it's just such a gauntlet, so hard. So Rick's like, all right, what does Vegas say? Like, we're looking at it from the lens of last year. But when you look at it for this year, how many games are the Jets going to be the favorite to start the season? So they started playing the game, and you will be surprised that after week one, the Jets are the point spread favorite in 12 of the 16 games after that.
After the first four?
After week one.
Oh.
Because they are only, let's see, I guess they have the, I'm trying to get to it as I'm scrolling with 8 million ads. Here it is. So week one, the Bills are favored by 1.5, even though the Jets are the home team and it's Monday Night Football. Bills are favored by 1.5. The Cowboys are favored by 1 at Jerry World in week two. Does that doesn't surprise you, right? But it's one. It's essentially a pick 'em, right? Like, yeah, it's one. And it's at Jerry World.
Because if it's, you would, so, think, if in, so, Dallas, if you would have, roll 3 points is like a, basically a pick 'em.
Right. You would think that Dallas would have, right. So week three, Patriots at Jets. You would assume the Jets are the favorite, yes?
Yeah.
Of course. What do you think the spread would be in that game?
I would probably say
it's the 5. First game the Jets are favored in the season.
I'll probably say 5.
Lower.
3.
3.5.
Okay.
All right. That's the first one you're their favorite. Now, week 4, Chiefs at Jets.
I would say the Chiefs are the favorite.
By
like 1.
1. Exactly. All right. Then the Jets at Broncos is week 5. Favorite.
Jets by 3.
Jets by 1.
Huh.
But still, 1 on the road, mile high, Jets, yeah, are still the favorite, right? How about this one? Week 6, Eagles at Jets.
I would say Eagles favored by 2.
Jets by 1.
Hmm.
Interesting, right?
They must be looking at their schedule, too, and saying something. I don't know.
Now you got the bye. Yeah, I got to look and see where the Eagles are before that, but I can't imagine they're playing that
maybe
early.
Maybe they got a rivalry game with
to check the Eagles
with the Giants or something like that, and they're getting the hell beat out of them. It's usually a physical game.
Yeah, what? Let me just, I'll check the date. You know, you could do that instead of shopping, you know, while I'm doing this. You know, like I'm doing 3 Googles at once.
Well,
now,
if you give me a tutorial,
can I do this for you? What more can I do for you right now, Bart?
What more do you want from me?
Anything else I can get you besides the spreads and what the Eagles' schedule is in week 5?
You can order me a latte.
They're in LA against the Rams before playing the Jets.
Oh, so that's travel.
So you think it has to do with that?
Right. In LA.
All
travel.
Right, so bye week comes, then week 8 is against the Giants. The Giants are the home team. Who is favored in that game, Bart?
Probably the Jets.
By,
I'll say 1.
1.5. The Jets are the favorite. And then we continue. And this is where now the Jets go on this roll of being the favorites. Week 9, Jets are the favorite against the Chargers at home.
Yeah, because they got to travel all the way from the West Coast.
And it's also a Monday night game. And the Jets are favored by 2. Week 10 at the Raiders on Sunday night, and the Jets, the road team, are favored by 2.5. Mm-hmm. Week 11 at the Bills, and now that ends the run of the Jets being the favorite. The Bills, 3.5.
Yeah.
So home plus a half.
They figured it may be cold, but they forgot that Aaron Rodgers played in freaking Green Bay, dummies.
It's November 19th. It ain't cold yet.
It could be. You don't
November
know
19th?
Listen, it can be cold.
It's the week before Thanksgiving.
It could be all cold. Right. Be a cold front.
Now, this is the prime day. This is Black Friday.
It gets windy.
Dolphins at Jets, week 12. Who's favored? 3 o'clock game.
Dolphins at Jets?
Dolphins at Jets. That's the prime game, remember, yeah, Friday.
You're going to call. You're going to get that to the JTETS.
What did you got there? How many letters did you put in there? Yes, 2.5. Jets are favored by. Falcons, week 13 at Jets.
That's a dangerous game, though.
I know you actually picked the Falcons.
Yeah, because you get fatigue and winning, and what do you think?
What do you think the Jets are favored?
I would say 2,
6.5.
Nah, see,
big.
I think people are slipping on like how Pitts can mess stuff up, and then Drake London. But now
this is the soft part of the schedule. December is a very friendly part of the schedule.
Finish strong.
Yes, Texans at Jets, 1 o'clock on December 10th.
Got to be 6.
8.5.
Yeah.
Jets are favored.
Yeah, disrespect is dropped.
Dolphins, then the Jets go down to Miami on December 17th. So you're not worried about all the shenanigans of the
favorite
hot weather.
Three.
Who?
Jets.
Dolphins.
By 3?
1.5.
Okay. South Beach is the
Commanders at Jets on Christmas Eve.
Jets by 3.
5.5.
Sam Howell.
5.5. Jets at Browns. That's Thursday night. The 28th of December.
Short week
at Browns. Who's favored?
Browns by 1.
Jets by 1. Dang. Right? Again, Jets. So it's interesting how we look at the schedule as this daunting schedule, and Vegas is like, nah. And then week 18, which we don't know the day yet, TBA on everything, but at Patriots, who's favored?
Jets.
Yes, by a point.
Bill will be about to get fired.
When was the last time the Jets were favored in Foxborough? Interesting, right? So when you look at it that way, I know it's Vegas and there's always reasons with the money and stuff like that, but this thought of a daunting schedule, are we overstating it at any way at all?
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with having a hard schedule. If you're the better team, you should split with the really good teams, and you should beat all the other teams that you should beat. You know what I mean? Just because they're good last year don't mean they're good this year. And if you got the better team, then you'll still find a way to win.
Now, the power rankings came out after now that the draft is all set and stuff like that. And so ESPN put this together from the NFL Nation reporters, and they decided to go through everybody and then just come up with the rankings of the teams. Where do you think the Jets rank in the power rankings now after the draft?
Probably either fifth or sixth.
Fifth or sixth. If I told you they weren't in the top 10, would you be shocked?
Yeah.
I would. They're 12th.
In the power rankings?
Yes, according to our NFL Nation reporters.
Who's ahead of
All right, so ahead of the Jets at 11 is Seattle. At 10 is Jacksonville. 9, Chargers. 8, Baltimore. 7, Cowboys. 6, Miami. 5, Niners. 4, Bills. 3, Eagles. 2, Bengals. 1, Chiefs.
I would have them above. Seattle had a good draft. But I think the Jets with Aaron Rodgers have a better chance. So I would probably say I would put them ahead of Seattle, and I would definitely put them ahead of Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville takes a step back as everybody kind of know what they are now under Peterson. They'll have some film on them, and it'll be a different thing. I think they'll win the division.
Seattle also, to me, I mean, post-free agency ranking, they got two great running backs,
and they got those monsters now with the you know, they got the kid from not USC, but they got, you know, so they got 3 great receivers, a better offensive line. The problem for Seattle has always been their defense. You know, their defense couldn't get to the passer really last year. They're waiting on the kid from Minnesota. What's his name?
How far do we go to get to the Giants in the power rankings? Where would you put the Giants number wise?
Maybe like 16.
Close. 17.
Yep.
That's where they are right now. And the team that's ahead of them, the Patriots. I don't believe that. Do you think the Patriots are better than the Giants?
Well, the good thing is they get to play each other.
That's true. But do you think they're better than the Giants?
No, I think the Giants have more talent, more depth of talent as well.
Yeah, I don't. The power ranking thing, obviously, is just everybody's opinion. But the Jets should be in the top 10, shouldn't they? I mean, a great defense, and you added Aaron Rodgers. What's lacking that you don't think they're better than some of the other teams?
Those other two teams got better, and they went to the playoffs last year. That's the only reason.
You're going with that.
That's the only reason they're doing that. They're saying, hey, these teams, you know, went to the playoffs last year, and they had a good draft and good off seasons as well.
Here's our good friend Ryan Clark from Get Up about the power rankings and where the Jets are ranked.
I believe when you look at what the Jets were able to do defensively last year, and all we kept screaming was they need competent play from the quarterback position. You go out and you add one of the best players to ever play quarterback in this league, one of the most talented, a guy that before last year was coming off of being the 2-time back-to-back reigning MVP. You automatically become better offensively when you just think about the essential of talent and experience at that position. And now you go out, you add Alan Lazard, you bring in a new offensive coordinator in Nathaniel Hackett that's worked with Aaron Rodgers before. I believe this team immediately becomes a contender in the AFC East to win the whole thing, and also a team that can challenge the Kansas City Chiefs, the Baltimore Ravens, and Cincinnati Bengals to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl.
I mean, Ryan, RC really believes in the Jets. He believes in them like you can spell.
Are you going to get that to the JTE Tets? Oh, see.
Did you go Tets? Is that what you did? No. Did JT Tets?
Yeah.
Like you didn't even.
Tets is for T. T-E-T Tets. Yes.
You realized it was time to just pull the shoot on that one?
Yeah, just like J-E-T-S.
It was time to bail.
It's J-E-T Tets.
The New York J-E-T-E Jets.
Wasn't nearly as bad as that one.
Yeah, I just got sleepy in between the real, you know, JT Tets.
You just didn't want to finish the job. Man. There's RC on the Jets being a playoff team.
They are a playoff team. I 100% believe that. And people are going to say, well, when you see them week one and they don't just look explosive or look great, that this isn't the team that can win the championship. But then remember, they have to gel. They have to get those reps together. And I believe as they do that and as the season continues to grow long and we get into late December, January, they'll be hitting a stride where they become one of the top contenders.
That's another thing to look at too when we look at their schedule. Yeah. Is it's okay, it's difficult at the start, then the middle, that early December. Yeah. Well, you're really, I mean, you could start to really eat. I mean, at that point.
Remember what happened with Tom Brady in Tampa?
Yeah, it's
right?
A great
took
point.
A while, and listen, this has happened too, even though that Aaron Rodgers knows the offense, you expect it to get easier faster. But, you know, they have a tougher schedule, so they may lose some games to some good teams, but they're going to find out a lot about each other. Aaron Rodgers is going to be figuring out some things.
Right.
But this is the thing. Even if the defense don't show up, Aaron Rodgers is good enough to keep you in the game. If this defense shows up like it has last year,
yeah,
and usually they just fizzled out because they got tired,
right,
because they kept being on the field and put in bad situations, they eventually broke. Aaron Rodgers should be able to benefit from being able to put up, you know, this team, this Jets team should be one of the top teams, I think, as far as in scoring. You know, because when you get down into the red zone, the green zone, Aaron Rodgers has all the tricks.
Yep.
All the little slip screens to a guy like Mecole Hardman, right? Or Mecole Hardman or Randall on a little pick, basically a pick route, but it's like that little screen that they do with the receiver where the inside guy go up and the outside go behind him.
Right.
And so you have all those little tricks. So he's going to get you, you know, Aaron Rodgers is good to get you three games that he wins by himself. Defense and special teams going to win you two. That's five games right there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the whole team shows up and plays well, they can stay healthy. Yeah, they can boat drag some people.
Yeah, exactly. Boat race.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Before we hand it off to the Michael Kay Show at the top of the hour, what do you think they're leading with, Bart? I know they don't want to hear from you, especially Michael. No. Michael doesn't want to hear from you today, your conspiracy theories when it comes to
– He said, if it was anybody but the Yankees, he would say the same thing.
I'll tell you what, though,
if it was any other fan base and that somebody did that and the announcers were reporting it live and say, well, yeah, he that's a clubber.
There's nothing
better. You want me to go peek in their studio and find out?
But I love this part.
Right there.
Yeah, just did it again.
No.
And he pummeled it.
Yeah, he just did it again. And he's pummeled.
With the way he was looking right there.
Yeah, just did it again. And he pummeled it.
he just hit it a country mile.
Sounded so defeated.
Yeah, he knocked the cover off of it.
He sounded so defeated. And he pummeled it.
What is he looking at?
Oh, man, Dan Shulman's a good dude, too, but he sounded so defeated. All right, Bart, we have the draft lottery tonight. It's a big night for you. Now, again, I've said it once. I'll say it one more time. If the Pistons win the lottery, I will be buying you a Victor Wembanyama jersey. Okay? So you have one. So you couldn't get – I tried – remember, the Bol Bol one, that didn't last.
Damn. Because they already had Weiwei.
Yeah.
It was called Bol Bol.
You think it was Bol Bol. Well, now they get Weiwei. So you'll see if they win tonight. There is also a story that you're a Knicks fan, you should be watching tonight. Because the Knicks do not have a pick in the draft so far. But the lottery could change that, and the Knicks could end up with a pick tonight. And it would cause controversy. Because it would mean that the Dallas Mavericks, who has this pick was top 10 protected. And we all remember the story. The Knicks owned this pick unless the Mavericks fell into the bottom 10, which they purposely did by tanking and not trying to make the play-in game, which Jason Kidd admitted, and they got fined for it. But there still is a chance, in fact, I believe it's 19%, right? Chance that Dallas could drop to 11 or even 12 in the lottery. If that happens, the Knicks get the pick. So you're watching the lottery tonight just to see if instant karma is going to get them. And will that – they have a better chance to stay at 10. They actually could win the lottery too, a 3% chance. But if this pick drops to 11 or 12, I wonder the response that you'll get around the league. I wonder what people will say that, oh, did they do this to help the Knicks? Did they do this to punish the Mavericks? They've already fined them. But it's something certainly to watch tonight, man.
They should.
Like, it is not something that you're just going to – like, the very top of the draft is a big deal, but the lottery, remember, it starts at 14. By 12, you'll get a sense already of could they drop there. 11 is where it really gets interesting. When they reveal pick 11, that's going to be a huge moment in the draft. Like the first of several big moments in the draft. Then, of course, you know, 10, 9, the rest of it, you'll just be like, whatever. Actually, 10, no, because you want to see. If they're not at 11, they better be at 10. Because if they're not at 10, guess where they'll end up? 4-1. They could be from 4-1 if Dallas isn't at 10.
Yeah, then it's going to get real.
So that makes it even more intriguing. You already know that if Dallas doesn't fall to 12 or 11, doesn't stay at 10, then you know they're somewhere in the top four, which makes it even more crazy. So this Dallas pick has so much riding on it. And, of course, the most boring thing to happen is them to stay at 10. But it'd be really intriguing if they weren't at 10. And in fact, what's the bigger controversy? Them being at 11 or them jumping into the top four?
11.
11 would be the bigger controversy, you think? That's the karma, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's the basketball god saying, see, this is what you get for losing on purpose.
But people are going to think the NBA rigged it.
Rigged it, right. You're right. Nobody will think the NBA rigged it if they get the top four, right?
Yeah, they'd be like, oh.
Then people will be mad.
Right.
And no, but you know the NBA will be mad because the NBA will say, oh, no. Because now you'll have more teams say, see,
we
play
we
in,
tank.
Forget
we
it,
tank.
We tank it.
Yep.
So this is what we're going to do, Bart. Because Detroit, Houston, and San Antonio all have the same amount of percentage to win the lottery, 14%.
So we got three teams with 14%.
Three teams have a chance. And then we have the Knicks situation. I'm going to right now, with 40 seconds to go in the show, leading into the Michael Kay show, I'm going to simulate the lottery right now.
Okay.
And then I will tell you where your Pistons landed. Are you ready?
Wait.
No.
All right, now go.
All right, we're simming the lottery. And you're not going to like this. So, Dallas moved up to 4. That's scary. Dallas is at 4.
Okay.
At 5, Detroit. That is the worst case
scenario. That's like sitting out from all the good players. Yeah.
Orlando wins the draft.
Again?
Orlando in this scenario, and San Antonio gets number 2.
That's good, though, because if you did it here, then
God help us all.
Yes.
Enjoy the lottery, buddy. We'll see you tomorrow.
I hate you.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.